You are Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. I'm your host, Mark King. 4th of July special episode for today. I was recording an episode yesterday and then about the Chandler Parsons trade, and then some more news broke, so I decided just to scrap it all together. I was getting questions for a whole episode. Decided to scrap it all together and go ahead and just record one today. Before I start drinking too heavily for the holiday today, decided to stop and record an episode for you guys to talk about the Chandler Parsons trade in the first segment. We're going to get to the Javon Carter and Kyle Korver trade in the second segment. And the last segment, we're going to take your questions, and I'll try to answer them as best I can. Tomorrow, we're going to do an episode tomorrow. We're going to have Amari Sankofa on the show as well. Yesterday, that whole thing got pushed out of the way because of the news. So we'll have Amari on either Friday or beginning of next week to get his thoughts on what the Grizzlies have been doing so far. We're going to talk tomorrow probably about the roster situation. They have 19 players, and talk about what they are going to have to do to kind of get down to that number, what they potentially could be doing in the future. They still have some more acquisitions there that they are probably going to make. So we'll talk about that tomorrow, and as far as the roster situation and how that is going to work itself out in the coming weeks. But today, let's get to the Chandler Parsons trade. But before we do that, make sure you go and subscribe to Locked On Grizzlies and whatever platform you choose, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, any of those things. Make sure you go subscribe to Locked On Grizzlies so you don't miss an episode. We usually do an episode every single day. Offseason's been a little bit more spotty. We're trying to do them at least once every day, if not four times a week out of the five. So make sure you go subscribe so you don't miss an episode. And also go follow me on Twitter at King_producer. That's usually where I put out tweets about if you have questions about for the show, things like that. You can respond or DM them to me, and I'll try to answer those as best I can. So make sure you go do all those things. And if you have a moment, again, please go rate and review the show in iTunes. It really helps out the show. Chandler Parsons finally got traded yesterday, and it was something that I never thought would happen. The trade they were able to do is basically a neutral trade, if you will, because as far as money goes, they were never going to get any assets for Chandler Parsons. So the only real useful way to get Chandler Parsons off this roster was three ways. They could buy him out, they could trade him, or they could waive him. The first obvious reason they've been trying to buy him out for us probably since last December. It's been a while, but I know this new front office did not want him on the roster. So buying him out was the most logical situation. Apparently Chandler Parsons did not want to be bought out at all, did not want to take any money less than he's already owed. And for him, I get that. I mean, he's a guy that was once a very, very good basketball player and now is a shell of himself because of injuries and other things, but that's not his fault. So obviously, if I were him, I'd want to keep as much money as possible as well. There's a good chance that Chandler Parsons does not have a decent contract next after this year is gone. There's a chance that he signs for veteran minimum somewhere. So that will be seen next year, but there's a good chance that happens. So Chandler Parsons, if he doesn't want to be bought out, then your next best option is to try to trade him. Obviously, there's no way they're going to get assets for Chandler Parsons, but what they were able to do is still trade him and make the contracts more manageable for the Grizzlies. For the Hawks, they needed roster spots, and so basically for the Grizzlies, so right now you can have as many players as you want. You can carry 30 players on your roster if you wanted to right now, but eventually you have to get down to the NBA roster minimum, and you have to have a certain amount of players after training camp. And so the Grizzlies have a lot of players. They have 19, including the mysterious forward that may or may not have signed, which is we don't know if it's confirmed yet. It sounds like it's confirmed, but haven't seen it from any official Woj or anything like that, so don't know anything about that yet. So if you include him, that's 19 players. That doesn't even include that. That's also making the assumption that DeLon Wright comes back. So you have a lot of players though. You can either that have non-guaranteed contracts that you can waive, like Avery Bradley. We talk about Kyle Korver. Obviously, we'll get to him in a minute. Now you have Andre Iguodala. There's a lot of things. A lot of players on your roster that yes, they're over the limit, but you're not necessarily going to keep all those guys. You're not going into the year with Andre Iguodala. It would surprise me. But the roster, the Hawks have a roster situation as well, but they needed to keep a lot of those players and needed to clear up the space. So what they did is they were able to send out two players and only take one player back for the exact same amount of money. And so their situation is they don't need the money. They don't need the they need the roster spot more than they care about the cap, because those two players probably weren't going to do much for them anyway. And Chandler Parsons isn't going to do much for them anyway. Like, it wouldn't surprise me if the Hawks just said, go away, we'll give you money, and that's about it. So they needed the roster spots more than anything. So he won't play. They needed to change two for one, basically, because they needed to keep a lot of their players. The Grizzlies were able to get off Chandler Parsons. They were able to take the two players in because they have some extra roster spots they can probably get down to. They'll probably likely buy one of these guys out. You know, it's very rare that you exchange expiring contracts for expiring contracts. Obviously, most likely scenarios, they look for a trade partner to take Solomon Hill and Miles Plumlee. The problem with that is Solomon Hill and Miles Plumlee aren't very good. And so even for just as far as dumping salary, I don't see a lot of situations where you can get rid of Solomon Hill and Miles Plumlee for positive assets. So the most likely scenario is they are able to buy those guys that goes out. So, but they, if they are able to trade them, they're able to split Chandler Parsons' contract up into two contracts, which is each $12.5 million basically for Solomon Hill and Miles Plumlee. And so you're able to split those contracts up, which makes it a lot more tradable. If you needed to put it in some type of deal to make money work or anything like that, that is more tradable than Chandler Parsons at $25 million. So it was basically a neutral trade as far as assets are concerned, but it's a little thing that we've talked about, especially in this front office in this past few weeks, that are these little things that we're talking about, like the protections on the Utah pick. These little things are splitting this contract up into two contracts, makes it easier to trade, make it easier to maybe buy those guys out if they're willing to take $5 million off of the salary off of their $12 million. Maybe they're able to give $5 million back. Any of those type of things are all possible with this trade. So it was Chandler Parsons' Independence Day yesterday. The Grizzlies were able to rid themselves of that contract. Again, Chandler Parsons, it's for what everything has gone down as far as he is concerned. They went out and tried to get the best free agent available that year. Was there concerns about his knee? Yes, but they were able to go out. They decided they were going to go out and get the best free agent they could, and that is what they did. Injuries didn't work out for him. He obviously, his body failed him miserably, but and that sucks because it's always sucks to see a player do that. But in the end, he didn't do himself any favors in the city of Memphis. He didn't really embed him in this city and really try to be a part of this team. And so I think that's probably where most people saw the friction with Chandler Parsons, as most people are probably right about that. So the Grizzlies did another good thing. The front office did another sneaky good thing of turning these two turning this one bad contract into two bad contracts. I saw someone mention to me on Twitter yesterday about Miles Plumlee possibly having a backup big. I get that. Maybe he stays on the roster as a emergency backup big, but to be quite honest, he's not very good. So that's the downside with Solomon Hill and Miles Plumlee, is that they're not very good basketball players. And so do you really want them on your team? Probably not. I would probably rather buy them out. If you have some cap space, maybe go and sign a veteran minimum like they did with Joakim Noah last year as a backup big. And obviously, Brandon Clark's going to be in that rotation as well. So there's not someone that's going to be, you know, a lot of heavy minutes for that whatever fourth big in the rotation as well. So that's the Chandler Parsons trade. Again, they trade Chandler Parsons for Solomon Hill and Miles Plumlee. Look for those guys to be, obviously they can look for a trade first. That's what they'll probably do. But in the end, they'll probably be bought out. Maybe one of them makes it to a training camp, but I doubt it. I think they'll probably both be bought out. They'll probably both be on their way, and the Grizzlies will save a little bit of money. Coming up next, we'll talk about this Javon Carter and Kyle Korver trade and what the Grizzlies got in that trade as well. Both trades happened yesterday. We'll break that one down coming up next. Welcome back to the show. Again, the Grizzlies made several trades yesterday. Yesterday, they also traded Javon Carter and Kyle Korver to the Suns, and the Grizzlies received Josh Jackson, DeAnthony Melton, a 2020 second rounder, and a 2021 second rounder with conditional pick. Real quickly, as most people are probably confused on that second rounder, the 2021 is a conditional pick, and what that means is it is a pick that has conditions attached to it, exactly what it sounds like. Basically, the Suns have already traded that pick to the Nets with protections on it. Those protections are, if it falls outside of 31 or outside of 35, the Nets get the pick. So anything from 36 to 60, the Nets get that pick. It's a little bit like the Grizzlies trading their pick to Boston, with it being top eight protected last year. If the Grizzlies landed in the top eight, they got to keep it. Same situation with the Suns. If it lands between 31 and 35, the Suns get to pick, get to keep it. So in theory, it will be their pick to trade. And then in that situation, it would go to the Grizzlies. So that's what the conditional pick is. I know it's a little bit confusing, but again, just all you need to know there is if their second rounder lands outside of 35, it goes to the Nets. Inside of 35, it's to the Grizzlies. So if they do get it, it will be a valuable second round pick. It will be top, you know, basically a few slots outside of the first round. So it'll be a very valuable second round pick. Again, this is a trade which they turned in Kyle Korver, which they got from the Utah trade. Kyle Korver had $7.5 million non-guaranteed money. So basically they only owed him $4 million on this contract. They turned Kyle Korver and Javon Carter. Javon Carter is someone who really honestly has not looked good at all. He didn't even look good in the summer league game that he played this past Monday. It looked terrible. And if you're a young rookie supposed to be good in the NBA, and if you can't play well in summer league, you can't play basketball. Like, if you can't stand out in summer league, it is meant for you to dominate. First round picks, when they go and play in these summer league games, it is filled with guys who are non-NBA guys or two-way guys or fringe NBA guys. So it is meant, if you are a real NBA player, it is meant for you to dominate. If you are an NBA, if you're a role player, it is meant for you to look good. And Javon Carter has never done that. He's never looked good in any situation. So the Grizzlies ship off Javon Carter, a guy that the Grizzlies front office, this new front office, was not high on at all. That was a previous regime's pick. They also ship off Kyle Korver to get Josh Jackson and DeAnthony Melton. Josh Jackson is the number fourth pick in the 2017 draft. He is on his third year of his rookie deal. And basically, the Grizzlies get a free look at him. With Josh Jackson, he obviously comes with issues. There's some stuff about getting a baby mommy, getting a 41-year-old woman pregnant, getting his five-month-old daughter high, which is terrible, allegedly. There's a lot of baggage there, obviously, with Josh Jackson. But let's not pretend like the Grizzlies haven't had guys that have baggage before. If you recall, one of the most celebrated Grizzlies in history, Zach Randolph, had tons of baggage and frankly still did crazy stuff when he was in Memphis. It just never really mattered that much. But before he got here with the Trailblazers or Jailblazers, did some crazy stuff. So let's not pretend like the Grizzlies, you know, this has not happened before with athletes. So again, I don't want to spend too much time on that, but Josh Jackson, fourth pick in last year, is a decent player. I mean, they averaged 11 points last year for the Suns. He has really, really struggled with his shot. I mean, really, really struggled with his shot, only shooting 29% from three. He's a wing that, you know, ideally you want to be able to shoot the three, kind of a 3-and-D guy, but, you know, hasn't really shown much in the NBA yet. Hasn't shown that he is a capable NBA player, but he's not bad. It's something that you can take a chance on. And that's exactly what the Grizzlies needed to do. They basically take an asset they gained from Mike Conley, who they were going to waive anyway. Kyle Korver was never going to be a Grizzly. But instead, they searched and saw if they could figure out a way to move him in a trade. And the Suns, who needed to save cap space, are going to waive Kyle Korver, got Kyle Korver, and probably waive Javon Carter as well. They're going to waive those guys and create money to sign Kelly Oubre. So the Grizzlies have done a great job in positioning themselves in the Warriors trade and this trade. And when people need to make room to make other moves, the Grizzlies are there to swoop in and say, hey, we'll take that. We'll take Josh Jackson, no problem, but it's going to cost you a second-round pick. Those are what they're there. Swooping in and saying, hey, we'll take Andre Iguodala off your hands. I know you need cap space. I know you need to move out of that contract, but it's going to cost you a first-round pick. And that is the difference between this front office and the last front office. This front office proactively out there working the edges, working the margins of the other teams, being the team that you're able to absorb contracts, take on assets. That's what you want to see in your front office. So the Grizzlies go out and get a chance at Josh Jackson. By the way, if he's bad, if he's a bad locker room guy, or if he's just bad at basketball, they get a free look at him because next year they have a team option on him. They can just decline his option. And Josh Jackson walks away, and you get $7.5 million freed up. That's it. It's a free look. There is literally no downside with Josh Jackson and getting him here for the Grizzlies, because they get a free look at a potential player. And that's what the Grizzlies should be doing. They should be going out and digging around and see if you can find NBA role players through these trades, taking in guys that could potentially be a role player. You don't know. If not, you have an option out of it. You don't have to. You decline his option, and that's it. And oh, by the way, you also get two valuable second round picks, because the Suns are terrible, and they're will continue to be terrible. And next year they'll have a second round pick from the Suns, so it'll probably be a high second round pick. So not only are they getting free looks at potential NBA guys in Josh Jackson, and they could decide on him next year to pick up his option if he's decent, or they could just walk away. They also get the picks in that. Oh, and by the way, they also get D'Anthony Melton, who they liked from the get-go last year. He was last year's 46th pick as a point guard and potential. I mean, he's a better shooter than Javon Carter, has showed more promise and more upside than Javon Carter. He's still a project. D'Anthony Melton is a project just like Javon Carter is a project, but he has shown more upside and more potential as that project than Javon Carter has. So that trade is just it's a very, very impressive trade. I love everything about it. They get free looks at players. They get projects in D'Anthony Melton, which again could turn into role players. That's what you have to do while you're rebuilding, is continually look for players that might be role players that you can continue to develop and put on the court around Jaren Jackson, around Ja Morant. That's what you have to do. Oh, and by the way, when they're doing all this, they're still getting picks from these guys. That is the sign of a remarkable front office, and the things they have done in the past 2 months since they've been on the job. They've done more in the past 2 months than the last front office did in the past 10 years. I mean, you see the difference night and day. They're proactively looking for deals instead of reactively trying to make the team better after the fact. They realize they're getting a bind. They realize they don't have shooting. Any of those things, they proactively go out and try to make their team better and better and better. And so they have done 180 degrees from last year. Last summer, Chris Wallace was up there trying to sell us on grit and grind reunion and trying to tell us that we're going to – and it's just telling us all the things that we knew weren't true. But this is a different front office, and it's refreshing to see – these type of deals for the Grizzlies time and time again over the past few months, and they're not done. They're still going to be shopping other players. They still have other non-guaranteed contracts. They're probably still going to move. So they're not done by a long shot. Let's wrap up. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about your questions coming up next in the last segment of the show. Welcome back to the show. 4th of July edition today. Hope you guys are going to have a great 4th. And you can listen to this while you're out by the pool. It's easy. It makes sense for you guys to listen to Grizzlies coverage by the pool, get a drink. I'm going to do the same here in a little bit after I get done recording this. But first, let's talk about your questions. I asked everybody to DM these questions to me just because I was losing track of stuff in my notifications, and there were a lot of stuff going around yesterday, so I was losing track of the questions and the episodes I was recording. So I asked everybody to DM them to me this particular time. But let's start with Colin's question: chances that Hill and or Plumlee are traded instead of bought out. Again, I kind of talked about this in the previous segment, Colin, but it's for me. I think they're probably going to look for those trades. They're going to try to seek out and see if they can move those contracts. Move those contracts to something else, and if they are, it would basically be like trading Chandler Parsons for assets, which is what I thought would be impossible. And if they do that, I'll be floored. But the problem with that is, again, Solomon Hill, Miles Plumlee, not very good at basketball. I think you probably would have a better chance at moving Solomon Hill, who's a better player than Miles. So you probably have a better chance of moving him than you do with Miles. But again, you never really know if someone else wants to maybe move. You want to move them to somewhere else, and they want to buy them out maybe for cap space. I mean, I doubt it. I think the chances are probably higher they get bought out, but you never know. Again, I thought they would probably just buy out Kyle Korver, but they clearly are searching and digging at the bottom of the barrel to get, you know, turn these non-guaranteed guys into assets. And so at this point, I would say it wouldn't surprise me if they came out and decided they could trade or had a trade partner for Solomon Hill. So we'll see. This one comes from Vince. 1 through 10, can you rate this front office so far? Vince, I know you're a big listener of the show, so I appreciate you sending that in. I would say a 10. I mean, they have done every move I thought they should make and more. If you remember, we talked about Kyle Korver, and I'll go back to this just again. It's a guy that I said they would probably try to move, but ultimately I think they'd probably buy him out because that's just what the numbers looked like. but they were able to go out and trick the Suns and tell the Suns that, you know, they needed Kyle Korver, which that's not true. The Suns needed to waive Kyle Korver. The Suns needed to have the space to sign Kelly Oubre. So they were able to go out and seek those things out, knowing the situations around the league. And that's really what is kind of impressive to me is you know, you're paying attention to everybody's cap space, not only your own, but you're paying attention to everybody's cap space. You're paying attention to what's going on around the league, not just your team, not in this little bubble in Memphis. You're out there actively paying attention and looking and seeing what else everybody else needs besides you, because right now you can be a facilitator in a lot of those trades. So that right there is really, again, being proactive instead of reactive, and that's impressive to me. So I would give him a 10 easy. This question is from Slick Rick on Twitter. At this point, how many moves are two moves? I would say it doesn't matter. At this point, you're in the off season. You're not even training camp, or in the middle of July and summer league. And at this point, after summer league, there will be nothing happening. So it doesn't matter. You can make as many moves as you want. I mean, if it were in the season, I think it's a little bit different because, you know, team chemistry doesn't have a little bit to play, you know, has a lot to play in that kind of situation as far as playing and knowing people on the court, but they're not even into training camp yet. So it doesn't matter. I mean, you go out and make as many moves as you want, as many moves as you feel necessary to improve your team. And just because they're doing a lot of moves, there are a lot of secondary moves for players like Kyle Korver, who was never even a Grizzly. Kyle Korver's been sitting in LA just knowing he got traded from team to team and he's going to get bought out, and then he's going to be able to sign with whatever team he wants. So you have players like that who, you know, have never even stepped foot on the Grizzlies. Players like Andre Iguodala, who are never going to be, very likely never going to be a Grizzly ever. Solomon Hill, same thing. Like, so a lot of these guys are never even going to be in Memphis. And so it doesn't matter. All matters is when you get to training camp, you have a roster that you think is pretty good. And even when you get to training camp, you'll probably still have a roster that is too many players, but you'll probably want to take a look at guys in training camp and see what happens. And that's when you'll start making roster cuts from guys who, you know, to pare down for the actual roster for the season. So at this point, it doesn't matter. You make as many as you make, and chemistry has nothing to do with it because the players are all over the place. They're with their families. They're in the offseason taking vacations. All that matters is when you get to the training camp, you have a reasonable amount of players that you think you're going to take a look at for training camp and who you're going to start the season with. So one news and note before we get out of here, I also saw some reports that Andre Iguodala might be looking at, you know, getting going to Houston. There's some interest in there. There's some interest in maybe Justin Holiday and a sign and trade. So again, the Grizzlies are still very active in this offseason, which makes my job easy. It's easy to talk about things like this because they're constantly doing things. So I appreciate that from me to you guys. Thank you so much for making my job a little bit easier. But there's constantly rumors or constantly things flying around about what the Grizzlies are doing. So they're not done. So expect to see more moves from the Grizzlies probably coming up next week, maybe even this weekend. Who knows? So, and again, there's still DeLon Wright out there. DeLon Wright has still not received an offer from anyone. It's still not signed with the Grizzlies. So we'll still monitor that situation. We'll be back with an episode tomorrow. So again, make sure you guys subscribe to Locked On Grizzlies so you don't miss an episode. Make sure you guys go rate and review the show in iTunes if you have a moment. We'd really appreciate that. Happy 4th of July, guys. Talk to you tomorrow.